Hello, is everybody back?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yep. Good. So I'll first ask if there are any announcements.
No, this is Minda. I think, Tamara, you mentioned on the Clean Network that the AGU sessions are due tomorrow, and just want to remind people I'm on the panel putting together two of them, so it'd be very exciting if people want to submit abstracts to them.
Yes. And actually, I have some. So people know that I'm the education chair for AGU's Fall Planning Committee, so I will be there at the meetings. And Michelle Hall is a co-chair, but she can't make the meeting. So I will have Frank Niepold with me scheduling the sessions this year. So we have quite a strong representation. That wasn't my suggestion. They contacted him independently.
Okay.
I think they wanted somebody local in the D.C. area on such short notice because they had to sort of figure this out quick. Anyway, so yes, the abstract deadline is tomorrow. We have 11 climate literacy sessions, and as everybody knows, you need to have a certain, you know, a critical mass of papers submitted in order to get an oral session. And some of these will probably be combined so that we can benefit from having oral sessions. Once the abstract deadline has passed. But, yes, anybody who is interested, there are 11 sessions. You can get to – I will probably be sending out a last reminder email to the various listservs with the list of sessions, but you can also access them from – at the top of the Clean Network teleconference page, there's a little reminder about AGU with a link to a Google Doc that lists all the sessions with the links to the individual session descriptions and a link to where to submit an abstract. So we tried to make that easy. Also, GSA, the abstract deadline there is a week from today, the 11th. So there we have one climate literacy session. I know people can't go to both, but if you do have the opportunity, the GSA is in Baltimore, I believe, this year. AGU is always in San Francisco, as everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Any other announcements?
All right, time.
So we were originally going to have David Herring was originally going to give a talk on this, teleconference today, but he got called away to another meeting. But what he really wants is he's developing a climate change game, and he wanted feedback from the Clean Network on the game and basically to sort of make decisions about moving it forward. And so we had suggested that he wait until the fall when we have more people on the teleconference, but he wanted to do this quickly, but he's had other things calling him away. So I think now we will actually have that conversation in September. So just as a heads up that David Herring is interested in getting feedback from our group on this new game that he's developed. And I think Scott has the information posted on the Clean Network teleconference page with a link to some description of the game, so you can sort of look at it up front. I don't know if it's a working copy there or whether it's just a description. I just checked that the link worked.
Kind of a press release, so a little bit of information there. And when I talked to David yesterday, it seems like we're aiming for the 22nd of September. It turns out he has a biweekly meeting, and it's absolutely, you know, slumping on. It's basically exactly at this time. In fact, he should be in that meeting right now, and so we have to do alternative Tuesdays. So the 22nd is probably the first one in September that he can do. So that's what we're aiming for, but I haven't had confirmation yet.
Okay, and we do have a list of potential speakers that we're still trying to contact and communicate with, but we don't have any. We only have two presentations scheduled for September. We have October, November, and December all open. So if anybody's interested in giving a presentation, just let us know. Pick a day. We were trying to shoot for every other week, so we sort of have time to have discussions also.
Yeah.
I'd love to do something post or pre or during COP with the teachers that we're bringing, either about the program. Possibly we could call in from
Paris?
Or after. I'm not sure what would be. So that's December. I'll be in Paris from the 1st to the 12th, and the teachers will be there the 5th to the 12th of December.
Yeah.
So maybe after AGU, because then I know the week of AGU is the 14th to the 18th, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, which is why I'm not going.
Let's take a look at December. Do we have a week before Christmas?
No, maybe.
Well, the 22nd.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone will. I'll probably be gone by then on vacation.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could talk maybe January.
All right. I'd like to get it on the calendar. If you have to change it later, that's fine.
I mean, I could talk about it beforehand, what we're going to do, but it probably is more interesting after. I don't know.
Why don't I plan to have more of an announcement kind of thing before? Maybe a couple of weeks before you can sort of describe what you're going to, sort of briefly, not as a whole meeting presentation, and then maybe January 5th or January 12th?
Yeah. January is wide open right now.
A couple things. One is, hey guys, Chris and I highly encourage us to do that. And a couple ideas for this is the Wild Center and Aztec and NOAA and Department of Energy and others are doing a side event, at least we proposed one, at COP21 on youth climate engagement. And I think that it would probably be good for the Wild Center to present to the network about the work they're doing with Climate Youth Summits. I don't think we've had them do that yet. Is that correct?
Mm-mm.
I don't remember.
Do you have a contact for them, Frank?
Yeah. I can recommend Jen Krester, if I remember right.
Well, send an email to me on to Scott, and so we can do that. And do you think that, would it be, so this is occurring during AGU or is it all before AGU?
It's happening before. So it's the last weekend, the last week of November and the first week of December. So it's before AGU.
November 30th through December 12th or 11th is the...
Mm-hmm.
The whole period.
Well,
of time.
What I'm asking is, if there are events in which somebody wants to do something from the meeting, on our call, would that be something worth pursuing? We could either do it the 1st or the 8th.
So I think maybe the best way to do this, given the time zone issues between, is to maybe do a special call, because the right day. And the right time, we may have to break the day and time, but I think it's a good idea, though.
Yeah.
Well, and just to add to that, each of our teachers, they are tasked with webinaring back to their classroom and anyone else who wants to join each day.
Yeah.
So, and that will probably be happening around noonish here because they have to get back to, they're going back to a school. So it'll be like 7 or 8 p.m. in Paris.
Right.
So that is something every day because there's 10 teachers. I think we're going to try and do 5, 2 on each one. And we'll be using Adobe Connect for that.
When you say 2 on each one, what do you mean? 2?
I think we're going to probably do 2 teachers per webinar. So they'll be talking about their experiences, what they're doing, and then they'll also be students listening in. But it's an Adobe webinar, so anyone will be able to join in on that. So that's that'll be an option.
We could advertise that for people to from the Clean Network people to can just call
absolutely.
Into that.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Oh, anyone will be able to.
And it's going to be every day during the 2 weeks?
From the 7th to the 11th it should be daily. That's the plan at this point. Yep.
Great.
Okay, well, we can certainly advertise each of those to the CLE network.
Yep.
I think it's also fair to say that there are, we should widen the, because there's going to be other events that are going to be telepresence available. Mm-hmm. There are going to be a series of side events that are going to be streaming from the U.S. Center.
Yep.
Some of them may be interesting for people to participate in, and I mean, maybe participate, but definitely watch. So I think if we put together a program of you know, what's coming out of the top from federal, non-federal, national, whatever, that relate to our space.
So is there a way for us to get that information? I mean, given that I don't have the time to try to find this information, I'm
sure,
perfectly happy to post it all up and make an agenda that we can put on the CLE network and advertise it, not just to the CLE network, but to the other climate change education listeners we have.
Sure.
So putting together the information is beyond what my time capacity is right now.
Yep. I think if we just say who is the recipient of the, you know, maybe make a page just for all the things that are going on in COP that relate to climate and energy literacy.
Well, I can have, we can send it to Sarah Hill.
Yep.
And I can have her
put it
together.
So this is exactly what we're doing on our page for this program. So, I mean, this is my job this fall, or part of it. It's creating the program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Frank, when you find out about stuff, please let me know, too. I mean, I'm on a million listservs now, but we're trying to keep a calendar and a program. And
Awesome.
So, Kristen, we can just use your page, information on your page. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. And we're sending a blast out this week now. We've got all their bios up and stuff, too, but I'll just send the link of the landing page for the program right now.
Kristen, you may, and this is related to another announcement, you know, just one thing to always remember, guys, is I don't know who's on the call today, but anytime you have a new upcoming announceable thing, don't hesitate to let Laura Potash at the White House know about this, because, you know, there's always opportunities for, you know, through the Climate Education and Literacy Initiative to kind of broaden, widen, you know, it's just good to let her know about these types of upcoming things. Like, Kristen, you're describing this to the teachers that are going. Was that part of the
What did you say,
commitments?
Laura?
I emailed
Laura
her 2 hours ago.
Look at that.
Well, she said she wanted to follow this project, but in previous years when we have gone, we've been able to connect with the White House negotiator to give them position statements from students, and so it's our hope that she can connect us with somebody there this time so these teachers can provide those again. So I just sent my pleading email to her.
Awesome.
As well as the information.
that's awesome. And just I think the other person you'd want to connect to is Ashley Allen at the State Department.
Cool.
Ashley Allen is the negotiator for Article 6 for the U.S. government.
For the education?
Yeah, education, training, and public access.
Cool.
So, you know, it's very easy to find Ashley Allen at State Department. It's very easy to find her email.
Cool.
But I mean, in a wider sense, I mean, I would encourage all people, if you've got something new that's, because you never know when they're going to be able to build a commitment set, or like we did back in December. And I think that, you know, as we build to Paris and beyond, as the administration has obviously just released its, you know, a big initiative yesterday on climate, you know, the momentum is building, and we do have a community-related activity at the White House under the President's Climate Action Plan of the Climate, you know, Education and Literacy Initiative. And Laura is the point for that for the White House. So it's pronounced Potesh, but it's actually Peets is in spelling, P-E-T-E-S. And she's awesome.
Yeah, luckily she introduced herself before I said it wrong to her face.
Because
I was like, Laura Peets.
She's
the one that put out the call for all of the climate change education initiatives that were going on last fall.
Exactly. Same person.
Same person.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, so when she joined our telecon back in, I think it was October or November.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's right. She talked. Yep.
Yep. Same person. So if you could look at the telecon listserv and all that stuff from last October, November sometime, all that information is available. But just as a general, the key is to talk about, let her know about things that are coming that aren't really big and published, acknowledged yet, because sometimes one of the things that the White House can do is raise the profile and elevate the visibility of initiatives. But the key requirement is before they really are well known publicly. They don't like to announce something that's already been announced. It's basically things that don't like.
This is Martha. I think somebody's rattling some papers. Hello?
Yeah, I think
somebody's
rattling papers.
Can mute your phone or typing.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Ah.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, somebody was furiously typing. Must be writing an AGU abstract.
How was the CIA taping our conversation?
Yeah, right.
Well, it's okay. It's easy because we
all have files. No problem.
or have various.
So, should we try
files.
To identify a specific event that we want to bill as a clean network call, even if we do it at a different time, in addition to advertising these other ongoing streaming events or webinars?
Are you referring to COP21?
Yeah.
It would be cool to just have anyone that we can get, like, just to choose a day, maybe in January. And, I mean, obviously I could probably pull in one or two of the teachers to join the call, but then anyone that, we meet or from the Wild Center, just to get some perspective on it from all these different education entities.
I think
just kind of
dedicating a January teleconference to that would be really great. I think that's a great idea. But I was thinking of those days during the meeting, December 1st and December 8th, even if we do it at a different time of day, but to just tie it to our regular teleconference and have a line into. And so what time, how many hours is it different? Is it 5 or 6?
Seven.
Maybe
seven.
It's 7 hours.
Well, it might be 6 at that time of year. I'm not sure. It's 6 or 7, yeah.
England is 5, so
yeah.
France might be 6.
Yeah.
So it's just, 1 o'clock in the afternoon is not quite that late there.
Oh, no, not at all. It's possible. I won't be there. I get in on the 1st. So the 8th would work for me, depending on what's going on. It'll be, if it's like maybe a 20-minute call or something, I'll have to figure it out. I don't know that I'll have international billing on my phone at that point.
Well, just think about it.
Tentatively say the 8th.
All right. Well, we'll tentatively put in there just COP21 call on the 8th. And I can see, I know that Juliet Rooney Varga was thinking about going. The last time I talked to her, she wasn't sure. But I can see that she may be positive. So we could do, a short amount of time for each of you and have a couple of people. But I think it would be kind of nice to have people calling right there from the meeting and sort of giving impressions of what's going on during the meeting itself.
Yeah. Well, in that second week, I actually won't even be able to get
go
in. I'll be in the first week.
I would reports we got.
Yeah. I'll be in the first week, but the second week, we only received a quota of 2. So 2 of our teachers are going. I'll be involved with civil society events and things like that, but which means I probably would be even more free on the 8th, just anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think,
and Martha,
another
were you saying something? Because I missed what you were saying.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying I'm not going to go. I've gone to most of the COPs, so I'm not going to COP 21, but I'd be very happy to, repurpose anything that needs to be magnified. So I was going to stay in my office but still work on COP, getting the word out. So before that time, I will,
Okay.
Maybe provide some kind of a system for getting out anything you sent. I don't know who's going to be sending things out, but you can get done okay. just as much from my office and waiting in line and being there, although I'm going to miss it. I'd like to get some footage of some of the demonstrations and everything. That's what I would really like, some, even if it's iPhone footage.
Yeah, you should let me know what you're looking for, and
okay.
I'll see if I get it on my radar, you know.
It would be like 60 seconds. I mean, we'll talk about before them, like 60 seconds
yeah.
of things,
mm-hmm.
like little that would go with the story. You get a lot more pickup when you have video instead of, you know, photos, but they have to be
yeah.
short. You can
yeah.
put them, create a YouTube, and that's
cool.
what gets picked up, and that would be really fun as far as just little 60-second snippets.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
So
cool.
one other aspect of COP 21 that's building on COP 20 was the declaration of, you know, reaffirming the importance of Article 6. And everything we're hearing so far is that the primary focus of COP 21 is about getting the enduring emissions cuts, and it seems like, you know, they're saying that the building human capacity to implement the emissions cuts and the adaptation stuff is down the road. So it's post COP 21, which we all know is challenging, because if you keep on delaying, you know, human capacity building investments when you want them, you know, is delayed.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
not
right.
a good thing for this. But that's just the way the international community is going currently. But, you know, it doesn't seem to be, you know, Article 6 in strengthening investments, and there's no green fund for Article 6 or anything like that. That's just too, you know, too logical. But sorry, did I say that?
Yeah.
But my point is that one of the things that is clear is that these things pop out sideways sometimes, and there is a direct connection between what we do in this community and the UNFCCC and the resulting COPs. But the priorities always seem to be delayed. You know, we'll get to that eventually. And I think, you know, Kristen and all those who are going to be there or have been watching this, is that there are times when this thing kind of lunges forward in spite of the best plans to push it off. And I think that, you know, if we have the articulation of really what is this vision that we are calling for strengthened, because Article 6 is generally kind of a feel-good but really not a significant initiative under the COP process. It's kind of like, you know, yeah, we trained 20 teachers in Rwanda, we've got the whole thing, you know, nailed kind of thing. And that's just not, I don't mean anything disparaging by Rwanda here, but I think you guys all know what I'm talking about. So I think, you know, being able to kind of, if they are interested in something substantial, what is the, you know, articulation of substantial, what's it going to take to be successful, is, you know, you know, Mark McCaffrey, who used to be with us a lot, used to articulate this kind of stuff, and he's in, you know, not here. And Tamara, I showed that document that we have from like 2008, 2009.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was some pretty audacious stuff we used to talk about in 2008 and 2009 in this space. And I think, you know, we have to come back to what is that audacious vision of what education and literacy bring to the climate challenge and opportunity. We don't talk that way all that much anymore, and I think it's high time we bring it back. That's just my perspective.
So I'm thinking about just the role. I'm wondering if you could talk more about, I mean, I understand superficially what Article 6 is and does, but how, you know, if we're writing or position statements as teachers, is this one thing that they could be saying, this is something that we need to recognize as an important piece themselves
mm-hmm.
too, you know? Like, tell me more about it, or how. I mean, I know you can't, you're not advocating for anything with that right now. I know you're not.
I am actually advocating. And it's appropriate for me
what?
To advocate. Yeah. I can advocate. I can't do advocacy, but I can
right.
advocate.
Okay.
And there's a big difference in those two words, and there's a couple of letters. But so what I can say is, you know, back in the beginning of this, Article 6 of the UNFCCC framework did articulate that education, training, and public access awareness was really an important part of the ability to, you know, deal with dangerous anthropogenic climate change. Mm-hmm. But historically, it's kind of always taken the back seat to other things. And if you look at the Durban platform, and Martha, maybe you can articulate some of this better than me, but there is a work plan, and there was the UNESCO Decade for Sustainability, you know, education with a focus on climate change, and there have been these lunges into this space, and there's an official treaty that 191-plus countries have signed to do Article 6 activities for their nations. Mm-hmm. I'm the reporting agent for the United States, and I can tell you from our reports that we do work in this space, but it is not sufficient. It's necessary, but not sufficient. So there's a lot of language that says we should. There's a lot of saying we will, but there's not a lot of follow-through on we have. And it's the full spectrum of teachers, place-based, colleges, public, but, you know, we always come up short on the implementation side of it. I think, you know, in the U.S. we've done a lot of really impressive stuff, but we know there's just so much more to do in the space. But I think, you know, being able to really be articulate about exactly what each of those pieces is, I mean, this dives directly in to the ongoing conversation in the community with the collective impact work and logic models and all the other things we've been doing. I mean, it's really the nation as opposed to the government.
Right.
So I can tell you in the U.S., the position is we don't do climate education at a national level, just because of the special challenges we have with legislation and education and all that kind of stuff. So it's really much more a national initiative than a federal initiative. And so, you know, it's across the nation as opposed to the nation. But, you know, what's it going to take to really do Article 6 justice? And there is a, out of COP20, there was a declaration, I'll have to find it, reaffirming from the COP process the importance of education, training, public access. But, you know, mm-hmm. between then and now, it's you know, it's just not sufficient level of initiative. But, you know, what would it take to actually, you know, paint a picture of what our sufficient Article 6 implementation would look like, and how would we do it? I think that that's mm-hmm. the challenge that all of us are struggling with at our individual, state, municipal, you know, across the nation level. And one other thing I can say about this is that when we get reviewed by the international community through the UNFCCC in the United States, one of the things they really want to know is what is the U.S. doing to help build the capacity in other countries as it relates to education, training, and public access. And I think that we're that's a very thin portfolio that we have in the United States. And, you know, so the all the great stuff we do in the U.S., I think we also have an extra burden given our you know, history in this issue to help other countries do the same. So, I mean, that's an extra thing that we in the clean community tend not to spend very much time on. Is, you know, what are we, because we don't have the resources to do such things. But if we had, we should think about that is in our logic and our mm-hmm. program designs. Because it's, you know, there are other countries that really want to do amazing things and just don't have the capacity or they don't want to relearn the lessons we've learned. So anyway, that's a big articulation, but I hope it makes sense. Does it help you?
Yeah. No, totally, and I found a great article, too, I just sent out that just about the dialogue that just happened in Bonn.
Yep.
They had a two-day discussion on it, too. So now I'm deep. I'm in deep.
Yeah. And so this is, that's the third dialogue. I represented the U.S. at the first dialogue. Emily Cloyd, who is a good colleague in the mm-hmm. community through yeah. USGCRP, at the second. and the third, Ashley Allen, represented and presented the GLOW program as a significant contribution, especially at that transfer from U.S. to international. GLOW is really built for that kind of thing.
Yep.
Ty, when you say first dialogue, second dialogue, and what are you referring to?
So in the UNFCCC process, there are a series of preparatory meetings between the COPs. The COPs is the Conference of Parties that happens in the November-December timeframe. But then there are all these other meetings that, build the platform for what they're going to discuss and agree on in that Conference of Parties. In the bond meeting that happens in the June timeframe, there are dialogues on climate education and Article 6. This past June, there was a dialogue. I helped State Department in preparation for that. And in that dialogue, we said what we said, and other countries said what they said. It's really more about, each country kind of saying what they're doing. There isn't really an initiative to coordinate and build collaboration between nations really in a robust way. But I think that there have been three of these. And so the first one was 2 years ago, 1 year ago was the second, and then just recently, a couple of months ago, was the third. Does that help?
I see. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Sure.
Cool.
So is anybody else going to COP21 or know of a group that's going that they work with?
I know Aztec, the Association of Science and Technology Centers, is going, and we have a proposed side event with them and the Wild Center and Department of Energy at the U.S. Center. It's just a proposal at this point in time, but it was part of the Climate Education Literacy Initiative commitments back in December.
I see.
There was a lot of disappointment, I know, in quota numbers. People are expecting to get more than they did.
Yep.
So there's less people.
They're expecting to get more. Oh, you mean slots for people to be able to go? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
People are expecting higher than they were given.
Are there fewer people going to be at this meeting, or was there some other
change in allocation? I think they were conservative maybe in their what they gave people, knowing that so many people were planning on going.
I think another way of looking at it is that they shrunk the number per organization because they knew there were going to be more organizations coming. Mm. Maybe that's another way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're having the same issue with the U.S. government, the official delegation. It's pretty small. Most likely, I will not be there because of that exact issue that Kristen raised.
Yep.
So is somebody going from NOAA, or is the delegation, U.S. delegation, defined in a different way?
We're talking the U.S. delegation. It can be more like, the administrator of NOAA, the Secretary of Energy, people like that. Our proposed session, John Holdren is going to be the moderator. It's kind of like that level of people. If you're not the science advisor to the president or the the secretary or deputy secretary of something, you're probably not going from an official delegation. And I'm not any of those things.
Okay, well, are there any other thoughts or comments about COP21 or anything else?
I have one, but I'll wait and see if others have something, since I just blathered on for as long as I did.
we'll try to coordinate so that people can find in one place these various. We'll draw on Kristen's site and advertise these events, and we'll try to arrange for December 8th as the time gets closer. We'll keep that date otherwise open, Scott.
I will put it on the schedule.
Okay. Okay, what else did you have, Frank?
So, Miranda Massey, I mentioned to some of the people on the network, she's the kind of the, one of the trustees that is starting up this officially chartered climate museum in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
I didn't hear, but I'm interested in it, yes.
So, I sent out a note to the listserv that I was going to be speaking to her, and would they be interested in, you know, collaborating, because since 2008 and even before, a lot of informal science institutions, education centers have done some really interesting approaches on, you know, climate education. And, you know, if they're going to start something major, a focus, that it probably would be good to make sure they tap into a lot of those innovations and plans and even evaluation reports and, you know, missteps and all that kind of stuff, so that, you know, they benefit from where the field is now. And she, we just had that conversation earlier today, and she was very open and willing, and I think it's, they're looking at something much bigger and broader than just a museum, which is appropriate and awesome. But I just wanted to let you guys know, those who listen to this recording or those who are listening right now, that she's very open to having that conversation. It's a little bit early for them since they went public. They've just been absolutely inundated with interest and, you know, clamoring for
collaboration. So what kind of external partnerships are they looking for? Is she looking for?
Well, so one of the things that's really interesting, I mean, it all depends on funding. Right now, they're just, it's just an idea. Developing it to something more is obviously dependent on resources, as we all know all too well. But they are, you know, they're interested in building a museum focused on climate change. But they also are interested in kind of a center of excellence, you know, for helping other institutions and other networks do similar work beyond just the museum that they have themselves. And so, you know, one thing just for you all to know is she Terry Eastburn from UCAR recommended that she, you know, propose to an AGU session, and she was like, I just don't know if I can do that. But one idea I gave her today that was, and it's something that I think maybe we as a community need to maximize on a little bit more than we've done in the past, is so we all go to AGU, or those who do end up going to AGU. Kristen and I understand why you're not, but for her to go and have meetings and talk with and have vision sessions or whatever on top of the AGU sessions, you know, whether it was on the Wednesday night, Thursday night, Tuesday night, whatever, would be, you know, we could capitalize on that, and she really wants to tap into the wider community and network. So, you know, that was one suggestion, but, you know, obviously.
So when are you going to be talking
to her? What's that?
When are you going to be talking to her?
I spoke to her this morning.
Oh, this morning, actually, okay.
Yeah, so she's very excited about, you know, collaborating with us. Figuring out how
that's
and when is the next step. But the willingness and interest is very high. So, but, you know, what forms of partnerships? I think, you know, it probably would be a good idea to have Miranda present to the network of what mm-hmm. their vision and interests are. And so maybe that's another next step, is to ask her to kind of just lay out what they're planning and have people join the call. So, just
well,
to,
we're
you
happy
know,
to schedule her in early October. That'd be good. I mean, we can if you can send me her contact information, I could send an email and CC you, and we could get that done.
That's great. So, you know, just the willingness and interest is there. Obviously, they know fundraising is going to be critical, but, you know, sitting in New York City with very influential people and funders, and this is the circle that she's running in, so it may be a field initiative as opposed to an individual organizational initiative. And so, you know, we're all about field initiatives if we can get them.
That sounds good.
So that was the other thing.
Well, thanks for making that contact, and I would be very interested in having her give a talk on our network.
Yep. That's it for me.
Okay, anything else? Okay, well, we'll continue to have a conversation about COP21 as the time moves on. And remember, AGU deadline is tomorrow, and GSA deadline is the next Tuesday, the 11th. And we'll talk again next week.
That's great. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, all.
Bye. Bye. Bye.